Hebrews chapter 5 is where we're going to kick off this morning. We're going to continue in our series, Passionate Parenting, discovering principles from the Word of God as it pertains to parenting and applying them to our lives and to our home, that the relationships that we value most will benefit as we learn these things from God's Word and then apply them to our hearts and to our lives. So we're going to talk this morning about the insightful parent, the insightful parent. And really kind of delving in this morning to the level of, we want to get to the place in our parenting where we can discern problems in the lives of our children early, when they're small, and then deal with them. Probably the difference between success and failure in relational nurturing and development in homes often hinges on, when can you detect the problems? In marriage, when it takes somebody throwing a pot across the room to discover we might have a problem, it's tough to kind of come back from that because there's a lot of water under the bridge. But when we are discerning and in tune with God, His Spirit, and our spouse, and we can sense maybe something's just not right, and we say, hey, honey, are we good? Is there something wrong? Did I do something? Did I say something? Is there something the matter? And we can get to something small and take care of it. Because mature, discerning Christians are developing the ability to discern a problem when it is small and then deal with it. I think all of us would agree in this room, for the rest of your life, would you like to solve big problems or small problems? Small. Absolutely, small, right? I would love to solve small problems the rest of my life. Now, sometimes I'm going to get in the midst of some big ones. My wife and I had a 2.5-hour counseling appointment this week, and we poured our all into it, and we left going, I have no idea how that's going to go. But it wasn't for lack of effort. We tried. But it was a big, big problem. Big problem. And you do the best you can and you move on. And by the way, I thank God that we serve a God who can handle big problems. Our God can handle big problems. So if you're coming this morning saying, Brother Rule, our problems are big. Hey, God can handle it. Don't worry about it. But from this moment forward, as you grow in your faith, wouldn't you love to just deal with small problems? And the ability to do that is to discern when they're coming and then to deal with it, to understand our child, to know their behavior and their heart, and then to see the warning signs and deal with them at an early stage. And God wants us to be able to do that, and He wants to give us the wisdom and discernment needed. Notice it in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 12. For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. So now these believers are being admonished. You should be the point of teaching, and now you've got to be taught again. These are believers, senile believers. I mean, they've been given faith, but they have forgotten more than they have retained. And now they're having to be taught when they should be teaching. And they're being admonished and saying, hey, you've got to be beyond the milk of the Word. You've got to be into the meat of the Word. You've got to be teaching. You've got to know the Word of God. Why? Verse 13, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Now, we may be new in the Lord. I thank God for our class. I thank God for the families that have been added. And we have babes in Christ in our class. And thank God for that. We always should. We should never get to the point in His design class where everybody's been here forever, we're all best friends, and it's us four no more. That should never be the spirit of this class. Why? Because the spirit is we're coming to receive instruction from the Word of God, but we're also reaching out to people who don't even know God, who need truth because they need it for their lives and their marriages and their homes. And so we have some babes in Christ, and thank God for that. But as we come to a relationship with Christ and as we come to study His Word, we quickly want to be a student of the Word of God so that we can dig deeper into the Word of God, so that the Word of God can be used in our lives to help us to discern problems and the relationships that matter most to us. So the Bible says in verse 14, but strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, what does God want you and I to do in the role of a mom or a dad? Discern between good and evil. Discern at the heart of a child. Discern, are they doing well or something off? And God says that happens by exercise, by use. when you and I are using the Word of God, when we're exercising in the Word of God, when we're reading the Word of God, when we're coming to church, you say, Brother Rule, why does Lancaster Baptist have Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night? That seems like a lot of church. It is a lot of church. And you know why we have it? Because I need it. Because every time I can be in church and hear the preaching of the Word of God, it's exercising me in the Scriptures. It's getting me looking in the Word of God. It's allowing me to hear the preaching of the Word of God. It's edifying my faith. It's building up my faith. It's helping enrich and deepen my faith. And it's helping me as a Christian, a husband, and a father. Because the more I exercise in the Word of God, the more wisdom and discernment I will have, the better I can be as a spouse and a parent, the better relationship have I can provide. And this is part of being the insightful parent. Now, the word discern that we read of here in Hebrews speaks of judicial estimation. And it is wisdom, insight, and accurate perspective of things which we so desperately need in our homes today. So we need discernment so that we can understand the state of the heart of our child. Now, why is the heart the focus? Let me give you a few thoughts here by way of introduction. The heart is the focus, number one, because it is where biblical values are formed. Biblical values are formed in the heart. So we have to have the heart of our children. This series has taken us beyond the toddler years where we have to have their immediate obedience. Now we have to have their heart. They have to obey, but they have to obey for the right reason. Because we want to be very careful in our parenting to mistake compliance for comprehension. I'm going to say that again. You've got to be very careful in your parenting to mistake compliance for comprehension. I can get my children to comply. What I want them to do is comprehend. Because I don't want this life just to be lived till their address is different than mine. I'd like this to be lived for the rest of their life. And if that's going to happen, they're going to have to understand why we're doing it the way we're doing it. They're going to have to understand Daddy got in God's Word, and God gave Daddy some direction, and Daddy's giving it to the home, and this is where we're going, and this is why. So that when they have that choice, they can go to the Word of God and choose a direction as well. So it's very important that they understand. That's why we have to discern where they are at the heart level. Secondly, because the heart is where questions are contemplated. Where questions are contemplated. It's where they're wondering. It's where when they say, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, and they go do it, in their heart, they're kind of wondering why. That outwardly they're conforming, but inwardly they're kind of struggling. And if you're a mom or dad in this room, you know the looks I'm talking about. They're going along with the motion, but in the brain, they're not quite caught up yet. They're still trying to figure out, why exactly are we doing this? Or what does it mean? Or why can't I do that? Or why cannot I go there? And questions are being contemplated. And we've got to discern and then answer those. The Bible says in John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We've got to give them truth from the Word of God. Thirdly, because the heart is where real relationships are cultivated. Every child represented by every parent in this room needs a heartfelt relationship with you. Please don't ever think that's not true. We live in a culture and society that tells parents, once your kids get to a certain age, it's going to kind of be spotty with you. It's going to be hit or miss, but that's natural. It's normal. Don't worry about it. It's no big deal. They'll be fine. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Your children need a heart-level relationship with you forever. Amen. They need it, and you've got to know it, and you've got to discern, is that happening? Are we connected at the heart? Do I have it? Fourthly, because the heart is where the spiritual battle is fought. Probably the greatest reason we need what we're going to talk about today is because Satan is after the heart of your child. And your ability to discern where their heart is may literally be the difference between life and death spiritually for their future. We have to be insightful parents. Satan cannot be serving our children lethal blows and you and I be oblivious to what's happening. We cannot afford that in our homes. It cannot be that our children are going in their rooms, closing their doors, doing whatever they do and whatever devices they do with whoever they do, and we just know nothing and don't care. We can't afford that. Because Satan is after the hearts of our kids. He wants to destroy their life. And we have to have the connection with the heart to discern where are they at spiritually, what battle are they facing. The Bible says in Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. My son, in Proverbs 23:26, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. Brother Schmidt said, a discerning parent is constantly on a sacred pursuit of their child's heart, doing all they can to develop that heart connection. And we need wisdom and discernment to do it. So with that as the backdrop, this morning let's examine 10 contributions to developing parental discernment with our children. What are 10 things you and I need to be doing so we can be more insightful parents? Number one, study and understand the Word of God. Study and understand the Word of God. 2 Timothy 2:15, study, show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you and I are going to have wisdom and discernment to rightly divide and understand where our children are at, where their heart is, what they need help with, and what that help might be, it will not come if you and I are not students of this book. If you needed motivation for a reason to daily be in the Word of God, I hope that serves as motivation. Because you've got to be a student of the Word of God if you're going to have the wisdom that God promises and the discernment that He promises that you so desperately need to succeed as husband or wife or father or mother. I think all of us in this room would very quickly agree that in and of ourselves, we fall short in having what it takes to be the right spouse or the right parent. And certainly our spouse or family members would agree with that. So we need God's help. And God says, I want to help you. I want to give you wisdom. I want to pour it out to you. I want to bless you beyond measure. But God says, but you got to spend time in my word. Because it's a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. It's the source of truth and wisdom. And God invites us to this book every day to read, to learn, to grow, to apply, and to teach the children whom God has given to us. So let's be students of the Word of God. Let's feast on God's Word. Let's be in attendance when God's Word is being preached. Amen. You say, Brother Rule, I'm here, and you are here, and I'm very proud of you for that. And you say, we're going into the summer months, and I understand all of that as well. But let's just be determined. We're going to be in church. We're going to be in God's house. We're going to have an open book, and we're going to listen to the preaching of the Word of God because we need to know more. We need this wisdom and discernment that God promises, and oftentimes a good book on parenting can be a blessing as well. Then secondly, ask for God's wisdom. So study and understand the Word of God for wisdom, but then ask for God's wisdom. James chapter 1, verse 5. Notice this passage with me in your notes, if you would. This morning, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. So God says, if you're lacking in wisdom, ask God. He desires to give to all men liberally and upbraideth not. God's not going to withhold any good thing from you. And wisdom, very simply, is God's perspective. Now, you and I need wisdom because without wisdom, biblical, divine perspective, we cannot discern the heart. I love doing family ministry. It's what I get to do every day of my life, and I love it. But at times it is shocking to speak with parents or a married couple, and through the process of the conversation you discover they have absolutely no idea where the other person is at. They're in the dark. Their marriage is at great lengths of estrange. They have lots and lots of problems. But when they try to articulate it, they don't have a clue. Or maybe their children are really hurting and going through a difficult season. But in talking with mom and dad, they're at a loss. And part of that is because we don't have wisdom. We do not have a biblical perspective. We do not have God's perspective on it. And God is saying, I invite you to have this. I want you to have it. I want to give it to you. But you've got to study my word, and you've got to ask me for it. We've got to have God's wisdom. This should be at the top of our prayer list for ourselves. God, give me wisdom. Solomon, you can have any one thing. What do you want? Wisdom. Why? Proverbs 4:7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. That's my life's first. And I'm thankful that I was taught from an early age, ask God for wisdom. You've got to have wisdom in your life. And I need a lot of wisdom today and every day, and all of us do. And we must ask God for it. Lord, give us your wisdom. It'll be one of the greatest gifts that we ever get from the Lord. And God challenges us here to ask for it. Very simply, every day, ask God for wisdom. But there's a condition that we find in James. He says in verse 6 and 7 that he will give to those who believe he will answer. So God says, I want to give you wisdom, but ask in faith. Because if you come to God and say, God, our family has a ton of problems. I don't think you can do anything about it. But I was told in Sunday school to ask you for wisdom. So here I am. Give me some wisdom. I mean, you might as well just, you know, pray to the screen or something. I mean, you know, that isn't going to work. Why? Because God wants you to ask in faith believing. God wants you to ask believing. God can answer this prayer. God can give me wisdom. God can use me to play a significant role of change in the life of my child. So I've got to ask, but I've got to believe. I've got to know that God indeed will give this wisdom. So I've got to study the Word of God. I've got to pray and ask. But then thirdly, I need to pray with and for my children. Pray with and for your children. How can you be a more insightful parent? How can you and I benefit from the wisdom that God promises from His Word? Well, we have to pray for our children, and we have to pray with our children. Now, we've talked about some of this in the lesson on the praying parent. If you were not here, I would encourage you to go online and to listen to that lesson. But we talked about the importance of having a prayer list. We even handed out a sample idea for your child. Then we talked about the need and benefit of praying with your child every day, maybe at bedtime or in the morning or at some point in time, getting with your child and having a time of prayer. We want to make sure that we're praying with and praying for our children. The Bible says in Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. I think all of us this morning would agree we have a request. We have a need, maybe in our marriage, maybe in our parenting, maybe in some other area. And God says, bring that to me through prayer. We want to be praying for and with our children. It will help us to be more insightful. One of the most insightful things you can do is get next to your child and listen to them pray. Listen to them pray. Listen to them bear their heart to the Lord. It will help you. It'll give you insight, wisdom, and discernment. Then number four, accept and obey the Holy Spirit's promptings. Accept and obey the Holy Spirit's promptings. Now, God gives every Christian parent an internal warning system. Now, you could call it intuition or the still small voice, but it is the Spirit of God, and it is His peace or lack thereof, and God implores you and I, stay in tune to it, listen to it, follow it, and be sensitive to it. The Bible says in Galatians 5:16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And pastor is actually preaching on the filling of the Spirit this morning, and it so beautifully dovetails with this lesson, because if we will be a parent who is listening to the Spirit of God and following the Spirit of God, we will be more insightful and more judicial in our authority and in our parenting with our children. And as we're seeking to follow the Lord and be in tune to His Spirit, and then we're working with our children, there's nothing wrong in the relationship with a child of saying something to our child like, you know what, I'm listening to God right now, and He's just not giving me a peace about whatever the situation may be, and we just need to wait on Him and obey. The Bible says, trust the Lord with all thine heart, lean not to thine understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. We are to trust and obey. And the Bible says in Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. You and I are not to violate when the peace of God is not there. So if we are a Christian, if we have the Spirit of God indwelling us, and something happens in our home, and we have a pause about it, we feel uneasy about it, we don't have peace from God about it, then we just don't do it. Because the peace of God is true in our hearts. And God promises a peace that passeth all understanding. God says, I will give you a peace internally that you can count on. When the world around you is falling apart, inwardly you're going to know you're just fine. That's the kind of peace God provides. That's the kind of peace that God promises to us. And we want to be in tune with that peace, and we want to accept and then obey this prompting of the Holy Spirit. It's going to help us to be an insightful parent, one with wisdom and discernment. Number five, be a team player with your spouse. How can you be a more insightful parent? Be a team player with your spouse. Now, children are experts at pitting mom against dad and vice versa. Why? Because they are selfish creatures and they want their way. And when dad won't give in or when mom won't give in, they go try the other parent. Now, in the home that I grew up in, that was an automatic spanking. If we ever tried that, and Brother Rule might have tried it once or twice, if we ever tried it, it ended in certain and severe punishment for sure. Why? Because we were taught that when you do that, you are trying to divide a unity that God put together. And we were taught from an early age, don't you ever, ever, ever do that. And so after we learned our lesson, we didn't do it. And we learned that it wasn't worth it. Whatever dad said, mom was going to say. Whatever mom was going to say, dad was going to say. And if they weren't quite sure, they were going to go figure it out and come back and tell us what the unified answer was. And my wife and I have not been perfect in this area, but we sure worked at it. And we've tried to teach our kids, you're not going to come between mom and dad. Mom and dad are one. We're on the same page. We're on the same team. And we talk, and then we communicate that to our children. And we try to be a team player about it. And if you're going to be insightful and discerning and full of wisdom, you've got to make sure you and your spouse are on the same page, committed to being a team player. The Bible says in Matthew 18:19, and again I say unto you that if two shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Two in agreement. What a powerful thing. And I want to encourage every husband and wife in this room this morning, seek to dwell together in unity. Now, our children are not going to view us being perfect, because that's not reality. But they should view us and live in our homes under the pursuit of unity. That we're pursuing to be as we should, unified, having left father and mother, cleaving one to another, being one flesh. That's what we should be. And our management of the home should be that way. It should not be home as one way when dad's here, home is another way when mom's here, and when they're both here, who knows? It shouldn't be that way. It's got to be a team player. It's got to be unity. And I encourage you and I implore you to communicate between one another. You say, Brother Rule, right now I'm in a state of single parenting. My spouse is not involved, or whatever the case may be. Then you want to consult with the Word of God, and you want to make sure that you have the grace of God, and you want to make sure you're presenting the authority of the Scriptures when you're speaking with your children. And if you're here as husband and wife, you want to make sure you're presenting a unified front that is biblically based and that is centered on the Word of God, and that is the same to your children. Be a team player. If that environment doesn't exist in your home, then create it. And communicate with your children, we're not doing this anymore. You say, well, Brother Rule, he's my stepson, or she's my stepdaughter, and she's hers, and he's mine, or we've got all... Listen, I don't know what you have. But if you are husband and wife, you are one. That's what you are in God's eyes. And that's what those children need. And you need to create that culture. You need to create that environment. And it shouldn't be a terrible thing. It's a good thing. It's a good thing for children to grow up in a unified home. Believe it or not, it is for their benefit. Now, they may not get their way. They may not pitch you against each other. They may not win. But in the end, it's good. And you want to have that unity. So work at cultivating that unity. Be a team player. Number six, spend quantity time with your children. Spend quantity time with your children. Discernment takes study, and study takes extended time together. We've got to spend time with our kids if we're going to know them and be able to discern the heart. We've talked a lot about time, and individual time with every child every week has been the goal. We've stated even in this series, Ephesians 5 says, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Why? Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Let's redeem the time and spend time with our children. Number seven, choose to look beyond the surface. Choose to look beyond the surface. do not become so infatuated with just the mere behavior on the surface that you forget to ask the question where the behavior's coming from. If you're dealing with a season with a child of misbehaving or disrespect or rebellion or whatever the case may be, that's a sin problem. And we need to discern what's the trigger. What's happening here? Why is this happening? John says, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Don't get so caught up in the appearance. Dig deeper than that. We've got to connect the fruit of what we see in our children's lives with the root that exists in their heart. We've got to be parents determined to address root problems, not just modifying surface behavior. Because parents who take the path of modifying surface behavior, it usually comes across to a preteen and a teen like, listen, I'm embarrassed when you do this, so modify it this way so I look better and don't have to deal with you. And then when you're on your own, you do whatever you want. Now, I don't think that's what we mean, but that's what happens. And we've got to get to the root, what's happening in their heart. If we will heal the root in their heart, it will change the fruit. So become less fruit obsessed and become more root focused and know the root of their heart. Choose to look beyond the surface. Number 8, respond with biblical principles. Now, in order for you and I to properly target the heart and pursue the transformation of their heart, then we always have to point our child to biblical principles. It is really good when you and I can quote the Word of God in our answers, when we can take them to thus saith the Lord, when we can say, well, you know why we do that? Because the Bible tells us to do that. We're eliminating the middleman. It's not about me. It's not about me trying to make your life miserable. It's not about me trying to come up with new things you can't do. It's just me trying to lead a home that pleases God. And God very simply said, be holy for I am holy. And I'd like to stand before God someday and hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen. In order to do that, I've got to know this book and follow this book. And I've got to use this book as authority in my home. And I've got to give them biblical principles from it. The Bible says in Romans 13:1, let every soul be subject to the higher powers, for there is no power but of God, and the powers that be are ordained of God. Our children need to know we're under the authority of God, and they need to be under the authority of God. Then number 9, respond with appropriate authority. Respond with appropriate authority. And you're doing great, and we're hastening, we'll be about done. Now, we're going to encounter a variety of behaviors, problems, situations in the parenting life that you and I are in, on the journey of, wherever we may be, in whatever stage. And as we go through that, we have to recognize that there's a variety of things that require a variety of responses. We don't want to be known as the parent who's going after the mosquito with the sledgehammer, you know. Not everything requires a shotgun. We've got to understand and discern what needs firm, authoritative response and what just needs love or what just needs instruction. I don't like that, but I don't know if they've ever taught them what to do. My bad, and I need to instruct. We have to discern what does this require of me. I love the preachers being challenged in 2 Timothy 4:2 that there are seasons. And some seasons need reproof. Some seasons need rebuke. And some seasons need to exhort. You know, as moms and dads, sometimes we just need to exhort and encourage. Sometimes we need a reproof. Hey, let's not do that. Sometimes we need a rebuke, and biblical discipline needs to be provided. But every season and every variance requires a different response. And when we're studying the Word of God, when we're praying, when we're asking God for this discernment and this wisdom, He will help us to mete out the appropriate response. If we respond to everything the same way, that's probably an indicator we need to work on that. Because not everything should be met the same way. I don't get the same punishment for speeding and murdering. Now, thankfully, I haven't murdered anyone yet, but I wish I didn't have a speeding ticket. But anyway, but there's not the same level of punishment there. And in our homes, there's a variance, and we would have wisdom with what to mete out. Number 10, and lastly, respond with compassion. How can we be more insightful parents? Respond with compassion. And if some have compassion, making a difference. And no matter how firmly we have to deal with a situation, we always need our children to rest in the fact that they will forever be loved. Everything begins and ends with compassion and a nurturing love from us to them. Yes, there's going to be times of instruction. Yes, there's going to be times of correction. Yes, there's going to be times of discipline and these kinds of things. That's part of a biblical. It's part of the biblical fabric of a home. But it's all going to be hemmed in love. If your child will not hug you, pray with you, or respond to you, what it's communicating to you is their heart is not open to you. It's closed. And we want to work at opening their heart and getting their heart open so that when we relate with them, we're relating with the heart, not the surface. And we want to watch the indicators that the heart is closed. And when we see that the heart is closed, we want to ask why. We don't want to yell. We don't want to tell them, your heart's closed. I can't believe you're doing it. You're treating me this way. What's wrong with you, you little jerk? We don't want to do that. We want to say, why is that heart closed? What did I do or say, or what's happening in their life? How do I get this thing open? Because I want to make sure I'm working with open, pliable hearts. And a big part of that is being compassionate. Am I dealing with my children? And whatever's happening, they've got to know that I love them. Now, it's no mistake that you are your child's parent. You're God's gift to your child. You were custom designed by God for their needs, their heart, and their development. You have been equipped providentially, and you are the parent your children needs. You and I may sit in here together today and feel like, I'm inadequate. I don't have what it takes. God, you're giving me too much. I don't know what to do. And God says, I'll help you. We'll get through. But your kids need you, and you are exactly what they need. So I want to encourage you as we close. Give your best effort to becoming an insightful parent, full of God's grace and power, constantly asking God for wisdom and discernment, studying the Word of God and taking advantage of it being taught and being preached so that your children benefit from the fact that you notice when things are off, when they're small, and you help navigate through them so that not only are you never fixing a big problem, but they're never experiencing one because they've got an insightful parent who's determined, let's deal with it in its infant stages. So God, give us the wisdom and discernment to do that. Heavenly Father, we sure love you, and we thank you for your word. Lord, I pray you'd help all of us to be more insightful. May we take advantage of your precious word and the wisdom and discernment that you will offer if we will ask in faith believing. And may we do that this week, and may our relationships, our homes benefit. Lord, I pray that you bless our class in a very special way this week, and then bring us back next Sunday as we celebrate our anniversary and enjoy such a special week of leadership conference. And we'll sure praise and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.